I guess it's time for the program. Jesus and Tim in Las Vegas. So glad to have you with us. My name is Tim Behrens, and if you're a first-time listener, my goal is to hand out 300 gospel tracts to folks coming from all over the world here in Las Vegas every day. And after I finish the program, I'll be writing the time you can hear me. Actually, the website, jesusandtim.org, you can catch some of our old programs there. So if you're not listening right now, just go to that website, jesusandtim.org, click on archive, and you can hear actually today's program in about 3 or 4 days. But thanks so much to Mark Martin for putting that that website together. Just looking ahead, September 6th, Lord willing, I'll be heading to New York City. There's 4,000 tracks that await me there for our Muslim friends. And I had brought a bunch of tracks last year. This is at the close of Ramadan. And I got those tracks out, but these 4,000 tracks came the day I was leaving. So I thought, well, the Lord must want me back next year. And look at what's going to be happening in New York in September. There's the 10th anniversary of 9/11. I say 9/11. It's God trying to get our attention. And the UN is going to probably give the Palestinians a state. And God's not going to be too happy with that. So I would covet your prayers. Pray that I'll be able to get those 4,000 tracts out to our Muslim friends. If you want to see what I'll be handing out, the track is called, one of the tracks is called Allah Had No Son. And you can go to www.chick.com and you can read the whole track. And if you'd like to help out, you can go to PayPal on jesusandtim.org. So that would help us in the finances. It would be having to go there and come back. So I appreciate your prayers on that. A few months ago, there was a seminar, a three-day prophecy seminar. I saw it advertised, Babylon Rising. And I wonder who's that, you know, that Chuck Metzler? Who's behind that? Chuck Smith? And so I went to it, and not a word was said about who sponsored it. And I thought, what in the world? And then I found out it was from our friends at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, and I immediately thought of Mark Martin from Calvary Community Church there in Phoenix. He had been on Tim and Al before. He's a former Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And I thought, I've got to get Mark Martin on. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today.
I am so glad to be back on the show, Tim.
Well, now, how many people that go to the seminar are aware that it's put on by the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
Probably only the Adventists that go. Nobody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not very upfront about sharing who they are in the initial meetings. They want to get people kind of hooked on their doctrine, and then they'll reveal themselves.
Right, and I met some wonderful people, and they invited me over to their house, and we had some refreshments, and they said, we want to do a Bible study with you on Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, that approach.
Oh, for sure. The Daniel study is primarily to help you understand from their viewpoint that the Adventist Church was God's remnant church that started in 1844, and through convoluted use of scriptures, they come up with the date 1844, and it's kind of a Harold Camping-like thing. If you know what I mean, some of your listeners might know. You've probably addressed that issue. But, you know, it was a time when people set a date for Jesus to return, and he didn't return. And the date came from this kind of a study from the book of Daniel. When he didn't come in 1844, the Adventist Church just decided that they must have made a mistake. So it wasn't his return, but it was a move in heaven that he made, apparently, that basically that's the foundation of the Adventist Church, is a date that was set for Jesus to return, and he didn't return, so they've tried to justify their prophetic existence by the book of Daniel.
Now, were you born and raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
Yeah, Tim, I was. I was born an Adventist. My grandparents were Adventists, my greats, you know, going back several generations.
When did you realize it wasn't a Christian church?
Well, it really wasn't until I was out of college, and I would say actually when I was an Adventist pastor, a couple of years after I graduated from college, that I really realized that I couldn't remain a Christian and stay in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Well, you look at the Ten Commandments, and you look at that commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and of course, the Seventh-day Adventists ground their members from cradle to the grave in that scriptural obligation to keep the Jewish Sabbath. They believe that from Friday sundown until Saturday sundown, they, you know, no TV, no, right. You know, no activities. When did Jesus do away with the Sabbath? How would you respond to that?
Well, if you say that to an Adventist, I mean, you're not going to get anywhere because we've been taught, you know, as an Adventist, I was taught that anybody who takes that kind of line just doesn't understand the Bible at all, that the Ten Commandments are and God's eternal law and cannot be changed. What I think a person has to understand is that the Ten Commandments are part of a covenant, the covenant God made with Moses. The New Testament calls it the Old Covenant. That was predicted to be a covenant that would disappear. It would be a covenant that God would disavow, and according to the book of Galatians, he would establish a new covenant. Every covenant had that God has made had a promise, a condition, and a sign attached to it. Like when God made a covenant with Noah that he would never flood the earth again, he made that promise, and the sign he gave was the rainbow in the sky. And when God made a covenant with Abraham, the sign was circumcision. And when you get to Exodus, and God gives the law to Israel, he says that he gives the Sabbath, and he says it will be a sign between you and me, a sign between the sons of Israel, that I am the Lord your God. So the sign of the Old Covenant is the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't a moral law. You know, it's not. There's nothing moral about worshiping on Saturday. And so because we're in a new covenant, the new covenant signs that we observe are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Our remember sign, it's not remember to circumcise or remember the rainbow, or remember the Sabbath. Our new covenant sign is this do in remembrance of me, and it's the Lord's Supper. And Tim, not to, you know, over answer the question, but I have online a great Bible study that Adventists are welcome to listen to called The Gospel and the Covenants that shows how the Lord has fulfilled the Old Covenant in the New Covenant, and it helps an Adventist understand it because it just won't do to say the Sabbath has been annulled or something like that. Mm-hmm. They need to see more.
I heard, then that's exadventist.com, right?
Yes.
Exadventist.com. Mm-hmm. I heard Paul Harvey from time to time kind of brag on the Seventh-day Adventist Church and their dietary laws and how healthy they were. The Adventists, and by the way, he wasn't Seventh-day Adventist, but his wife was, right?
Right.
Okay.
He went to the Camelback Adventist Church here in Phoenix.
Okay, all right. But the Adventists teach that the Old Testament dietary laws of Leviticus 11 still apply to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to Adventists who believe that?
Well, I guess I would encourage them to read, Jesus says, you know, declare all foods clean, the scripture says. And Romans chapter 14 says that we shouldn't judge one another, you know, with what we eat. And then in Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, don't let anybody judge you in regard to a new moon or a festival or, you know, a Sabbath day or what you're eating or drinking. These things were you know, these are shadows that point forward to the substance, who was Jesus, the Sabbath days and all. The gospel not only makes all people clean, but the Old Covenant laws don't apply to us as believers. I think the clearest scriptures are Romans 14. And he says, if you want to be a vegetarian, just don't impose your beliefs on everybody else.
By the way, that verse you were quoting there a moment ago, for our Adventist friends who might be listening, and hope they are, Colossians 2:16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. What if I were to tell a Seventh-day Adventist I'm saved?
Well, Adventists would immediately think that they couldn't say that, and they would, first of all, they would think that would be difficult for you to say because you don't understand the gospel. You don't understand the truth of the Sabbath. The Sabbath truth is a very important part of Adventist soteriology, their whole plan of salvation. Seventh-day Adventists are taught that they could never say that they're saved. The prophetess, she's not alive anymore, but Ellen G. White, their prophetess, taught them that it is a sin to say that you are saved. And so an Adventist can never say that. You can meet the most precious Seventh-day Adventist, and you'll say, well, are you saved? Are you sure of your salvation? They'll say, I hope so. Well, I'm trusting God, I hope so. But they can never claim that promise. In 1 John 5:13, it says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And, you know, Tim, one of the most exciting things for me was realizing that I could trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, and I could know that I had eternal life. I could know that I'm going to heaven. But as a Seventh-day Adventist, you can't know. For one, the prophetess declares we could not ever say that. And doctrinally, because of the Adventist doctrines, it would be impossible for you to know whether or not you're saved based upon the doctrine that they teach of an investigative judgment that is going on right now of believers. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have, but fill me in.
Well, this is a teaching that the Adventist church is unique in proclaiming. It's never been taught by anybody else. It's a teaching that beginning in 1844, again, according to their miscalculation of the date for Jesus to return, they believe that in 1844 a judgment began of believers, and this judgment will determine a believer's salvation. It will be a judgment of works that determines salvation. So this is what Ellen White the prophetess says. She says, all who have ever taken upon themselves the name of Christ must pass its searching scrutiny, both the living and the dead are to be judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so as Adventists, and this is out of Ellen White's book, The Great Controversy, which, you know, is a major work of Ellen White's, she teaches that when an Adventist believer confesses their sin, a pardon is written by their name. The sin has been written down in God's book. Pardon is written by that sin. So you have to confess all your sins in order to have pardon written by it. But then when your name comes up in this judgment, God is going to look at the sins that he has written pardon by, and if you have not completely overcome that sin, it will go against you in judgment. And so God will weigh your good works, the things that you've completely overcome, your sins overcome and your good deeds, and your sins that you haven't overcome or not confessed, and that will determine your salvation. That's what is called the pre-Advent judgment or the investigative judgment. And that would be, when you go to the Adventist series, you know, the Bible, their prophetic series, that would be about study number 7, probably.
Okay.
That's not what you cut your teeth on when you go initially to the Adventist evangelistic prophetic series.
I asked one of the ushers there, I said, am I taking the mark of the beast if I go to church on Sunday? And she said, let me get back to you on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, do they believe that? Do they believe that you're taking the mark of the beast if you go to church on Sunday?
Well, Adventists, this is the official doctrine. They believe that the seal of God is the Sabbath, that ultimately in the last days, as you read the book of Revelation, that worshiping on Saturday will be the point of conflict and will determine whether or not you are on God's side or you're on the Antichrist side. The whole issue is going to be over the Sabbath.
We don't have a whole lot of time. We've got about 9 more minutes, but let's take a closer look at Ellen G. White. Was Ellen G. White, or his sister White, as you'd like to prefer to be called, was she a messenger of God, do you think?
Well, the difficulty with Ellen White, she claims, Adventists claim that she is the end-time prophetess, and one of the marks that distinguishes them as the remnant church of God, because she, they believe, has the gift of prophecy. The problem is that Ellen White contradicts the scripture. She adds to the scripture. She not only does that, she contradicts herself. And she has made prophecies that haven't come true. And so, as a result, looking at the marks of a true prophet, you have to say, no, she fails the test. Mm-hmm. Yet her writings are considered to be on the same level as the scripture. In fact, actually, Tim, they interpret the Bible. The final argument in every Adventist discussion is an Ellen White quote. If you quote Ellen White, she trumps everything, because she is basically the one who interprets the scriptures for Adventists.
The one thing I remember from the interview we did with you before, you went into a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, I think it was your pastor, and you said, if it came down to Ellen G. White or the Bible, who would you side with? And he said Ellen G. White. Was that you that I spoke to you about that?
Yeah, it was me. In fact, it was the pastor who was having to fire me, kick me out of the Adventist church because I was teaching salvation by grace through faith alone and the Bible alone, because I saw that Ellen White was a false prophetess, that she didn't fulfill the Bible requirements of a true prophet. And my grandma had always told me, she would read Ellen White to me and she'd say, Mark, Sister White is a true prophetess of God and would never contradict the Bible, but if she ever does, we choose the Bible. And so this pastor kept insisting that this investigative judgment doctrine was true. And I said, well, it can only be proved by Ellen White's writing. Show it to me from the Bible. And he couldn't do that. And I said, well, what are we, Mormons? You can't show this from the Bible? Mm-hmm. And a little bit longer in the discussion, I said, what are you doing? Are you telling me I have to choose between Ellen White and the Bible? And he said, yes. I was just crazy.
Wow.
And Grandma's words came to mind.
Yep.
And, you know, we choose the Bible.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's all you can do in a situation like that.
How much of her work was plagiarized, taken from other sources?
We suppose 80%. I mean, I've heard even 90%. But of Great Controversy, Desire of Ages, which are two very well-known books.
What are the names of those?
The Great Controversy
and
The Desire of Ages.
Okay.
Huge portions. She actually plagiarized an entire book, just put her name on it, and that's her book called Sketches from the Life of Paul. And there was a threatened lawsuit and everything over that, but she just took a whole, you know, whole book and put her name on it.
Well, are the Adventists aware of this?
You know what? She even plagiarizes from the Book of Mormon. even some of her visions come out of the Book of Mormon, out of Joseph Smith's. There's a lot of such interesting stuff. I wish we had more time.
Yeah.
Are Adventists aware of this? You know, no. Most of them aren't. Those that are, this is a tactic the Adventist leadership is taking now. They say, well, the Bible writers plagiarized. Hmm. Well, you know, the Bible has prophecies that didn't come true. Well, you know, the Bible writers made mistakes. And what they're doing is they're beginning to tear down the scriptures, this high view of scriptures, in order to be able to, you know, establish Ellen White with her errors and really her lack of integrity. It's a sad thing that's happening in Adventism.
Did she teach that masturbation caused cancer?
she taught that it caused a lot of things. I haven't heard cancer, but everything from back pains to
small heads and busts, misshapen heads, a peculiar gait.
That's why Adventists are vegetarian, believe it or not. Ellen White believed that in order to curb the animal passions and self-abuse, that was the term for masturbation in those days, you needed to stop eating meat because meat would feed the animal passions. So that's why cold cereal was invented. Kellogg was a Seventh-day Adventist, and that was all to curb the animal passions and also... the whole vegetarian movement in Adventism was an effort to stem masturbation.
By the way, I lived in Battle Creek for a while, so I'm well familiar with that.
Yeah.
Was Jesus Christ Michael the Archangel?
Seventh-day Adventists believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Early on in Adventist history, a number of the founders were Aryan. They didn't believe in the deity of Christ, much like Jehovah's Witnesses today. And so they believed that Jesus was the Archangel Michael, and they still teach that. And the reason why they teach it, even though they're Trinitarian now, is that Ellen White said it. And if she said it, you can't undo what she said without admitting she was wrong. And if she's wrong, then how could she be a true prophet? So they do teach that he's still Michael the Archangel, even though it's clear that in those Daniel passages that Michael is just one of the princes. You know, I'm sure you know you've studied that and all, but it goes back to their early anti-Trinitarian beliefs. You know, what's kind of interesting to me is here's a church that comes on; they believe that they're God's only true church on earth, yet they didn't. They set a date. Jesus said not to do that. They set a date for his return. He didn't return. Rather than admitting the mistake, they just said no, and a pre-Advent judgment has started, judging a believer by the believer's salvation by their works, which the Bible says is a false gospel. We're saved by grace through faith, not by our works. They also didn't believe in the Trinity. That the church has believed in for, you know, 2,000 years.
Yeah.
So,
did she believe that Christ sinned?
She has statements where she believes that he had a sinful nature. She never taught that Jesus sinned.
Okay. But they don't believe in hell. They, you know, the Bible says very clearly what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, that
right.
Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead. And in Galatians 1:6-9, Paul says, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. Now, that might sound narrow-minded to folks, and you narrow-minded fundamentalist bigots, you know. We're just following what the Bible teaches. This is what the Scripture says. When I went to work for KHUF in 1973, there was a fellow in the afternoon, I won't mention his name, but he was a Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
And folks were saying, oh, it's okay, Walter Martin says they're not a cult. Do you see them as a cult?
Yes, I do. I think they're a cult because they have a different plan of salvation. Though they say they're saved by grace through faith, they believe that there is a judgment that will determine salvation based on works. That's a false gospel. They have an extra-biblical source of authority, Ellen White. Her writings are considered to be authoritative, and they interpret the Scripture. And so based on just those two things, I say that's cultic.
I would have to agree with you.
Yeah.
And the website is xadventists.com. If you're not listening to this interview right now and you wanted to, you can hear this in a few days on jesusandtim.org. jesusandtim.org. And just click on archive. Mark, I thank you so much for being with us. This is such a... Do you have any... One more question. There was a book called The White Lie by Walter Ray, R-E-A. Is that... Did you agree with that? Is that...
It's a A phenomenal book. Get a hold of it. We have ways on our website that a person can get a hold of that book, read that book. Ray discovered Ellen White's plagiarism. He documents it. And it was one of the things that I think really helped open my eyes to realizing that the church wasn't what I'd been taught it was. And I just thank God that, you know, over the last few years, the Lord has just blessed tremendously. We realized that we didn't have to be fearful of investigating things. Yep. Ellen White herself says the truth has nothing to fear from investigation.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mark, we got to run. Mark Martin.
God
and
bless you.
That's Calvary Community Church. God bless you, brother. Xadventist.com. Check it out. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Our guest will be Pastor Benny from Eritrea and Trinity Life Center. God bless you. Bye-bye.